This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. The Kings County city of Corcoran is slowly but steadily sinking, as much as 11 and a half feet in some places over the last 14 years. Lois Henry, a journalist with SJV Water, recently wrote about it for the New York Times. I spoke with her about how agriculture and its reliance on groundwater is to blame. So to start, can you give us a sense of scope here? How much is the land in Corcoran and in the surrounding area sinking? And how fast is it projected to sink in the future?
Well, that's the second part of that question is really hard to do to answer. But the first part is that it has been sinking at times up to 2 feet a year. Sometimes that rate can go down into the, you know, few inches a year, but it's always sinking. The difference in rate is determined really on the need for groundwater by farmers, because if it's a dry year like this year, they're going to be pumping a lot more water. They only got 5% of their allocation from the state. So, you know, and the rivers coming down through the valley are all but dry, and there's just nothing left up in the mountains. So they're going to be turning to groundwater. So you can bet this year that we're going to see, you know, a lot of sinking. How much? It's just, it all depends on how much people are going to be pumping. So there's just no way to say, you know, in 5 years, Corcoran will be at X elevation, because each year is different.
Absolutely. And I do want to talk more about this summer and the drought in a minute. But before we go there, I want to focus on the actual impact that this sinkage has on the people who live in Corcoran, both in terms of the infrastructure and in terms of financial cost.
Well, that is a really interesting thing. I thought when I started this story that I would hear from a lot of outraged residents, because one of the most tangible in their face, you know, cost directly to residents out of their pocketbook was in 2017, when we actually had a big water year. There's a levee around Corcoran that protects it because it's on the edge of the old Tulare Lake bed. And when we have a big water year, the rivers that fed that lake years and years and years ago can still come back and they can still swamp the town. So that levee is important to protect Corcoran. And in 2017, the levee district had discovered that it had sunk to the point that it was going to potentially not protect the town and, you know, break and have breaches. So they had to fix it, and they had to fix it quickly. And so they had to get the residents of Corcoran to authorize a tax. So they taxed themselves $10 million to fix this thing in 2017, which meant $200 to $300 a year for 3 years on people's property taxes. I don't know if listeners feel like that's a large amount of money, but in a town where the median income is $40,000 a year, that's a lot of money. So when I went about this story and I was talking to people about it, they kind of remembered that this had happened, and then, yeah, we'd seen it on our taxes, you know, but we really think that was the city just trying to get some money, and, you know, we never saw flooding. And so they kind of like related it to flooding and not to the fact that it had sunk. Literally the ground had fallen out from beneath it because of groundwater pumping. It had sunk and they had to repair it. So they just didn't make that connection. I mean, subsidence is a strange thing, you know, especially if it's not breaking water mains and cracking the foundations of your house and your driveways at different levels, you know, and that's not happening in Corcoran. So they're not seeing that on a regular basis and hearing about it, because the area around Corcoran that's sinking, that, and Corcoran is the center of this, it's known as the Corcoran Bowl. It can be as large as 60 miles in some years. So when you have that vast of an area sinking, it's all deflating at the same time, you know? So you're not seeing, you know, one side of the street going down and the other side staying up. And that's when you're going to see, you know, massive damage to roads and bridges and water mains and all that kind of stuff. So when I talked to the public works director there, Joe Faulkner, he even said, yeah, it's a little strange because we've been sinking sometimes 2 feet in a year and we haven't seen the kind of damage that you would think that we would see. You know, other than the levee, obviously, and they've had a couple of drinking water wells that the casings, you know, down below were crushed because the land sank in on them. And so they had to fix those. But that wasn't a direct cost to each citizen. You know, they obviously they have funds within the water supply system, and they use those funds to fix those wells at $600,000. So they just haven't seen, you know, it's just this strange kind of ghost hanging over the town. And most folks who are working and going about their business and stuff, they just don't, they haven't like really computed it and what it means to the future of the town. Now, when you talk to the leaders of the town, they all do know that subsidence is happening, but they're just convinced that Corcoran has a very bright future. And they're very committed to the town. And they're, in fact, the residents, you know, passed a sales tax, a 1 cent sales tax in 2017. And they're talking about using that money for a lot of amenities to try and attract growth. So it was interesting, to say the least, to talk to folks about this.
You know, it was one of the things that I found really surprising in your reporting. You know, it's easy to understand that people wouldn't be particularly upset if it's happening so slowly that they don't really notice. But the other thing that you pointed to in your article is that there seems to be a reluctance on the part of city leaders in particular to be critical of ag because the economy is so deeply dependent upon it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, it's such a strange situation where the ag is providing the jobs and the tax base for Corcoran, no doubt. I mean, yes, there are prisons there, but the prisons, you know, they pay a high wage to the employees, but those employees mostly live elsewhere. So they're not buying homes and buying groceries and buying gas and paying, you know, sales tax in Corcoran. So really it's ag. And then you have ag having to pump all of this water to stay in business, to continue to provide these jobs. So it's just this really hand in glove kind of, I guess we're all going down together. You know, it's a really interesting conundrum. Now, of course, on top of that, there's the issue of sales of surface water out of the area, which, you know, was a separate kind of a situation that I got into.
Yeah, you read my mind. That's exactly where I was headed next. So talk to me about the J.G. Boswell company and how much of the blame is being directed at that one particular company.
Well, I would hesitate to ever say that you can blame any one company, because as you'll notice in the article, I went out and I looked at the various different large agricultural operations, and there are a multitude.
All of which are engaging in pumping to some extent, correct?
Right, exactly. They're all having to pump groundwater. So they're all, you know, a part of this issue. But you start to look at each individual company and what they're putting in the ground. And Boswell stands out clearly because the Boswell company owns like 100,000 acres in the area. You know, not a lot of people coming close to that. And when I went to the records, and we could talk about how terrible a job the state does in keeping well records, but which is interesting because they're, you know, forcing all of these farmers to do all this groundwater management. And yet the record keeping for wells was just horrendous. But through that and through the county, I pieced together enough public records to show that even if all things are equal, you know, J.G. Boswell has more than double the number of wells that any, even the largest next farmer does in comparison. And then, you know, from that guy on down, it's just, you know, it's like, it's just fractions, right? So clearly Boswell has the most wells and the largest and the deepest. And when I started looking at these well completion reports, and they do, once you start learning how to read them, it's just eye-opening. I mean, you know, since 2010, Boswell has put in like just dozens and dozens and dozens of new wells and put them into this, to the depth of 2,400 feet. And they are so large, they can pump up to 4,400 gallons per minute. That is enough to fill your average swimming pool in 5 minutes. I mean, that's how much water we're talking about here. So you can't pin the blame on Boswell. You cannot do that. But they are pumping a lot of water out from under Corcoran, a lot. And they're right around, their well fields are all right around Corcoran. So, you know, I just leave that where it is. I don't pin blame. I just say these are the facts.
Sure. But then there has been the criticism about the Boswell company selling surface water while they're pumping.
Yeah, that is how I got on this story. I had, other farmers in that area called me and asked me to come out and take a look. I mean, this started, June of 2020 during the pandemic. They called and asked me to come out and look at this because there were the Boswell wells were just running this massive amounts of water into these ditches, and if you followed it along, it would go to this retaining cell. And, I don't know anything about farming. I was like, well, okay, so, there's this water and it's going to this retaining cell, and what, they're gonna irrigate with it? And they were saying, yes, that's correct. But they're only doing this because they're selling off so much surface water, they're having to do this with groundwater. And in the era of trying to, meet state mandates about groundwater management and sustainability, the other farmers were angry and shocked and just felt that this was not the right way to go about things. And so I was interested. Okay, so he's irrigating with groundwater and he's selling off surface water. Okay, who's going to be really interested in that? And then they all sort of went, well, yeah, and Corcoran sinking. And oh, okay. maybe that's something to look at. What do you mean it's sinking? And then I looked up the groundwater plan, because the state is requiring that they come up with these plans to try and mitigate the groundwater pumping. And in that plan, I mean, it's written in that plan. I was kind of like, oh, come on, guys. These farmers would tell me stuff and I would think, yeah, come on, you're just exaggerating. In that plan, it shows, yeah, we're going to sink Corcoran from, another 6 to 11 feet from where we are today. And then
It's
they,
in the plan.
it's in the plan. It's in the plan. Is that a good plan? I don't know. I can't tell, but I just don't think it would pass muster with the state, which is saying you've got to get your groundwater house in order specifically to stop subsidence. I mean, that's one of the specific things that they say you must stop subsidence. So anyway, so there was that. And then I looked up some of their, they put together annual reports, of like, how are you doing towards your goal? And in one of those annual reports, it was like, oh God, it was even worse. The trajectory of Corcoran was headed to the 11, the 6 to 11 feet was like, oh, there's this range and we're going to try and stay to 6 feet, but it could get to 11 feet. Oh, it's headed to 11 feet already, So I, all of that combined made me just sort of think, this is crazy. This is just crazy.
So we've been talking around the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Tell us briefly what that is, and give us a sense of what impact it could have, if any, on pumping this summer, particularly given that we are in a severe drought.
SGMA, which is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, was passed in 2014, went into effect in 15, and doesn't really have an enforcement date until 2040. So different groundwater agencies, which were established under the law, are handling things in very, very different ways. Some groundwater agencies in the valley have already started curtailing how much their landowners can pump. They have started charging fees for how much you can pump if you go over your allotment. They have started buying water and bringing it into their area for more recharge. And other areas, like the area around Corcoran, where there's a groundwater agency there, mostly covers Boswell's lands and happens to be run by a majority on the board of Boswell employees. If you look at their plan, they don't have any curtailments that they're going to be doing. And I couldn't find any fees being charged if you go over any amount. And I didn't find any real plans to bring in water to try and mitigate the loss from groundwater pumping. So in fact, their plan gets to 2035 and just sort of business as usual. And then in 2035, somehow magically everything kind of bounces back. Water tables come up, subsidence stops, et cetera, without any real like, well, how are you going to get there? So I imagine in that area that pumping this summer will continue at the rate that it has in the past, and this will just cause the area to sink even further, as opposed to some other areas that are trying to do curtailments, like I said. So you might not see as much of a subsidence or dropping of the groundwater table, but like I said, the state and federal governments are curtailing the amount of water coming in from the projects that bring water into the valley from the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta. So just naturally, there's going to be a lot more pumping.
Makes sense. Well, I have been talking with SJV Waters Lois Henry. Her article, The Central California Town That Keeps Sinking, was published in the New York Times last week. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Kathleen.